This is an uncensored podcast about sex, sexuality, gender, and body stuff. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are solely those of the person or persons sharing them. Some names have been changed to protect the anonymity of its participants. My friends, it is I, Drew Michael, and this is Make Sex With Me. This is my sexy morning voice. I am recording earlier now than I think I've ever recorded. That might not be true, but I've recorded sick before, and that is a similar sound. But yeah, every morning I wake up with like some kind of congestion. It's just the life of someone who's allergic to literally everything. Dust, mold. I recently, this is proof that I can just like bullshit my way through anything. I'm just pulling all of this information out of my butt. I was like, I've been seeing videos on the internet about washing your fruit. Why did I say that so insane? Fruit. With water and vinegar and white wine vinegar. White wine vinegar? Just like distilled white vinegar. And it's like you're supposed to kind of let it soak in there for a bit, and it kills, apparently there's like mold spores on everything. And it kills those. And I'm thinking to myself, like, because I have a lot of weird food sensitivities to, like, raw fruits and vegetables. And I'm just like, wait, are there fucking mold spores on all this shit? And I've been, like, just, you know, eating them and then being like, why do I feel kind of weird? Oh, mold spores. Maybe. It's a possibility. Because I'm not like, what the fuck was that? I'm not like allergic to these things. I'm just kind of like, I just like feel weird after I eat them. So I might actually be allergic to apples and carrots. You know what? Let me put on this do not disturb. There we go. Because I can't have this shit happening. All right, guys. So here I am trying to do this little recording for you guys. I have been so fucking busy lately. I have like been planning another comedy show. I've been trying to be like very involved with my role as a board member of PFLAG in my town. I've been trying to like teach movement to children for a theater, which I was not going to do, but I decided, hey, this is like the first time you've ever been getting actually paid to do something similar to what you went to school for. So let's not just like brush it off. So, I mean, it does involve children, which I never intended to teach children, but they are really cute and they do make me laugh, which not a lot of people can make me laugh. So kudos, kids. Kudos, kids. But, and then I've been just, I got a little promotion at work and trying to like prove myself for further promotions and just like busy, busy, busy. I'm like, interestingly though, very happy about all the things I'm busy with. I'm interested in doing all the things I'm busy doing. But it's been a little bit like, busy, 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 take a moment to breathe, and then, oh shit, this other thing is happening tomorrow, and I'm not prepared at all. So, yeah. So, that happened literally this morning. I was like, oh, the pod drops tomorrow. And I have a lot of unedited episodes I could release. But I figured, let's just do a personal, like a little nugget of just me and you in this voice. And if you want, you can lay down and put your hands in your pants. If this voice makes you want to put your hands in your pants, hey, call me. Because I feel like people don't have that reaction a lot. And I'd like to know if you do. I'd like to know. Just give me a call. 1-800-CALL-ME. Is that enough letters? Call. Me six. So what do we want to talk about today? Okay, so this has been happening to me lately. This is this episode is inspired by my insecurities and my fears. Oh God, that's good podcasting. You know, when you have irrational thoughts and they're based in fear, which is where they all come from. But there's also maybe some like evidence to support the thought. So it's not like completely irrational. You're just like, is this true? Should I give you an example? Yes. Let me give you the example. So I'm afraid that because I live here, in South Carolina, in this like red ass state, Bible Belt, with all of its little microaggressive and occasionally macroaggressive conservatism, am I being affected negatively by it? Am I being subconsciously like closeted, indirectly becoming less of a sexual being, starting to have like feelings of like I'm wrong for doing all the things I'm doing, like I feel right to be gay and support gay stuff and be liberal and do all the stuff I'm doing, and I'm doing a lot of what I'm doing for other people. Because this whole time I'm trying to create safe spaces for queer kids, I'm not like making my space that much safer. I mean, indirectly I am, but I have to go to unsafe spaces sometimes to make them safe for kids and young people. And I'm not necessarily putting myself in harm's way. I haven't done that much of that, but you know, every once in a while I'm like, but what about me? You know, like I'm doing this for them, but I'm queer. What about me? So yeah. And I'm not, I don't want to make it sound like are gay for people, you know, like the people that came before, like literally put their lives on the line and suffered tremendously so that we could even have as much as we have now. I'm not suffering that much. But I do suffer a little bit. Suffering light. I'm just afraid that the climate here, the social climate here, is like affecting me and my thoughts and feelings and like making me doubt myself. And more than that, I'm feeling like I'm losing my grip on, I'm losing my gaydar. That's actually what I'm losing. I had this experience the other night where I was out with a guy friend of mine and my niece, and we were drinking, you know, and It always starts with margaritas at this restaurant, this Mexican restaurant we like to go to. And then, you know, we know the bartender. He's the guy friend also. And so, you know, he's pouring some pretty good margs. And we're just like, look, 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 look. Because margaritas are yummy. And they seem refreshing. And you're thirsty. And you also want to drink. And you're hungry. Like, I'm almost always starving by the time I go there. So I'm, like, just chowing on chips and salsa and margs. You know, just like a basic bitch. And then by the time my actual, like, entree comes, I'm, like, actually kind of full. But, yeah, so we're doing that. And then we're tipsy. We're tipsy. We're, like, a good tipsy. Like heavily tipped. And we're, like, we should go to a bar. We should go out. And there's only one divey bar that we ever go to. We should go to it. I'm not going to say the name. They don't deserve my praise. No, they're actually awesome, but I don't want, you know, I don't want y'all to know where I live. So we inevitably always end up going. This night, is this even what happened this night? I think I'm getting my nights confused. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to the story. This night we went to the bar and our guy friend was there. We're going to call him his name. His name is Eduardo. It doesn't matter. He is at the bar and Maya's like, my niece is like, I'm feeling kind of nauseous and like, I'm tired. Like, let's go. And I'm like, no. Cause like this other guy that I like is there. He walked in and she was like, oh my God, Alex is here. And I was like, oh my God. In my dreams, Alex is into me. And I'm such a 16-year-old fucking girl that I, like, I really think Alex is a little bit into me. Like, oh my God, he said hi, right? And so I'm, like, not leaving this bar till I at least talk to him. Because there's been other nights when, like, he's been there and he goes there all the time. And my niece is like, oh my God, he totally keeps walking behind you. It's like he wants you to talk to him, but he, like, doesn't know how to, like, talk to you first. And I'm just like, oh my God. And my niece is like so good at talking you up. I'm not sure if it's helpful or not, but if you want someone who's going to get you like in the game, like she's your person. And she's always like making you feel good about like your choices of what you're wearing and like, you know, just, you know, life choices. Like she's very supportive and I love her. And it is actually good most of the time. I'm just not sure if it's good when maybe I have a crush on someone who has no idea I exist or really doesn't feel that way too. But anyway, so I'm staying and she's like, I can't stay. And I'm like, well, I'm not leaving. And I'm like being a little bitch. And then our other friend Matt like drove her home and I was like, sorry. And so then it just was a slow moving, tragic train derailment from there. Not only did I get very drunk and like throw up the next morning and then have to go to work or something, I think. But, you know, it ended up being me in a car with Eduardo and Eduardo being like, are you into me? And I was like, yeah. Cool. Yeah, sure. You know, cause I'm like, and I wanted to explain to him, but he didn't give me much time to talk. Cause he was just like, okay, now I talk again. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm into like everybody. I'm into so many guys. And like, I'm not hurt if he's not into me, you know, cause like there's like seven other guys I'm literally into right now. Like it's not very personal. I don't want to date everybody. I don't want to like go out with everybody. I don't want to sleep with everybody. I want to sleep with a lot of people or do something with a lot of people. But there's definitely things I wouldn't do. And I don't want to be friends with everybody. I don't want to, like, have a conversation with everybody. There's certain things, like, you know, you have a nice butt. I'd like to see it. I'd like to fool around. I might not ever want to see you again, but, you know, that's just that. It's just lust, right? So I'm not even sure if, like, I like the guys I like, or if, like, I'm in love with them, or I'm not in love with them, but, like, if I'm lusting over them, like, I'm not sure what motivates me. And I should be a little bit more mindful at this point, because I've had a lot of therapy. But anyway, maybe I should just bring this up in therapy. That's a thing too. I haven't felt like I could really talk about relationship stuff in therapy, because I've got this, like, straight male therapist whom I love. He's wonderful. He's, like, one of my people, you know, my support people. But I purposefully never bring up anything sexual or romantic, because I'm just not sure how comfortable he is with that. And it doesn't really matter, I guess, that he's comfortable, because I'm paying. But I don't know. I haven't breached that with him. But maybe I should. Maybe I should. And then we'll find out if, you know, maybe I need to find somebody else to see. I mean, there's not a lot of gay counselors around here. My old counselor was gay, and I felt like I could say anything to him. I even talked to him about, like, cruising and locker rooms. Like, I told him everything. I told him all the sex I was having, and he was just like, okay, how did that make you feel? It's, like, so good. But anyway, so, God, it sounds like I fucking smoke a pack of cigarettes every day. This is not, I don't, I really don't. So I end up in Eduardo's car, and he's like, you know, are you into me? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And then before I can say anything else, he's like, well, cause you know, I'm straight. And like, I just love you. I just love your friendship. Like, I really, really, really don't want to, like, ruin our friendship. Like, this is really means a lot to me. And he was so sweet. I mean, he was just like, I don't like a lot of people, and I like you, and I like your niece, and, like, I just want to be friends with you guys. And I was just like, oh, that's so sweet. And then I was like, why am I in your car? Like, I thought we were going to make out. So I'm going to leave. So totally swung out with that. And at the same time, I, like, send a Snapchat to Alex, and I'm just like, hey, what's up? You having a good night? Or I think I said like night night as I was, like, walking out. He did not respond. He's not responded to any of my snaps. I also added him on Snap because a friend told me his Snap, and he's never responded. And I don't know. Snap doesn't, like, tell you if, like, they liked you back or followed you back. I guess he did. I don't know. But anyway, I have really no way of knowing if he's gay other than the fact that he's been nice to me. So this is the thing. This thing where, I don't know, I act like straight guys have never been nice to me before, which is, like, not true. Straight guys have always been nice to me on occasion. Wait, hold on. Always on occasion. Does that make any fucking sense? There's always, throughout my whole life, there have been straight guys who have been nice to me. Not all of them. And more than anything, more than anyone being nasty or being nice, it's been just like they don't even see me. That's the biggest thing. Where straight guys have no use for you and they don't even see you. You know, if they can't fuck it, or if it's not making them food, or a promotion, or if it's not benefiting them in some way, like, here's the keys to a fucking Ferrari, they don't give a shit. You know, they see other straight guys and they see, like, oh, hey man, that guy could talk to me about sports. That guy, you know, could talk stocks with me, or, like, you know, that guy, you know, he knows where to get a good haircut. Like, they have a use for him, but for me, they don't have a use. It's kind of like being a woman over 55 in Hollywood. It's like, no one needs you. Right? But, like, my whole life. So, Yeah, it is not a good feeling. What's funny is when I'm at work and a straight guy like that comes up and he doesn't want to admit that he does need me for whatever he's come up to my desk for, because I work customer service. He might just need me to sign him in for the day. And I'm just like, yeah, I could do that. And then I say a couple words to him and he goes like, oh, hey, this person's like kind of cool. And then I change a lot of minds. But it's like, is that my fucking fate in life, to like just one stupid, ignorant straight guy at a time, just like let him know that queer people are human beings? Oh, by the way, we're humans. Oh, you have a good day. Yeah. So, that's the worst. That's the worst when they don't even like you. I'll even say hi to people because that's my fucking job, and they just walk by me. And it doesn't happen that often, but it happens at least once a day, and that's a lot. That's a lot, right? So, oh my God, my dog wants in. Tulsi, don't ruin another recording. Hold on, I have to open this door. But I'm naked.
Oh, Tosi. Hi, Tosi. What are you doing? What are you doing? You want to say hi? Come here. Come here. You're my baby. Go up on the bed. Go up on the bed. Lay on the bed. I record.
Oh my God. Okay. So. So when a guy's nice to me, can you please? How can a dog so little be so loud? It's insane. When a guy's nice to me, or goes out of his way to be nice to me, I'm just like, oh my God, when's the wedding? Like, when are we gonna get married? Oh, like I'm over the moon. He's all I can think about. Because it's just a guy was nice to me. A guy showed interest in me. And you know what's so funny? A lot of these guys that do that are these guys that they have like a gay brother. It's like the I have a gay brother guy. And so it's like they see gay people and they love their brother. And they're like, they've already made the decision. I'm always going to respect gay people. I'm always going to be nice to gay people because I know how hard it was for my brother. And you're like, oh, that's so cute. But like, please tell me you have a gay brother so I don't think you like me. You know what I mean? Like, that would be nice. Just say, like, hey, my brother's gay and I love him so much. And I just wanted you to know, like, I think you're awesome. And I'd be like, that's a little condescending, but I'd be like, okay, oh, okay. So you don't want to fuck me. You just have a gay brother. I mean, it could be both, but probably not, right? So that's something people should start with, I think, when that's the case. The other thing that I'm thinking is there are these just the fact that we're in the South, right? We're in the South, and for so many people, traditionally, being gay wasn't an option. And it's almost like it's very Christian-y to be like, I'm a Christian, so I gotta be kind to everyone, I gotta be nice to everyone, and that's all great and stuff, right? And then there's also the Christians who are like, I know you're gay, but I'm gonna pray for you, and I hope one day that you'll understand the error of your ways. Like, I'm praying for you. I know Jesus loves you, even though you're gay, and He died for our sins. And so, I know that one day you'll come around and he'll still be there with open arms, and so will I. It's like, No. Jesus and I are fucking homeboys. Like, we're good. Okay? Like, I'm gay. He was probably gay. You know what I mean? Like, we're good. I literally feel like I'm living Jesus's life. I'm doing all these great things for people. I'm not married. Well, he died at, like, what, 33 or something? I'm, like, 30 or something. But, like, I never have sex, and I'm a carpenter? Yeah. And we're exactly the same person. And I have long hair. And he had long hair, according to paintings. Oh my God, there's this fucking video of, like, a pastor losing it over the fact that, like, the Bible says men having long hair is a sin or whatever. And he's like, I don't believe that Jesus had long hair. He's like, that was some queer Renaissance painters that said that. Oh, it's funny. Anyway, who knows? And who the fuck cares? And also, the Bible is written by human beings and not the Word of God. So thanks. How do you follow that up? I think that there's a lot that goes into the psychology of, like, the Southern mind and the Christian mind. It does. I mean, I act like it's just the South, but this shit happens in the North too. I mean, we act like racism and Jim Crow and all of that shit was, like, a Southern thing, but there was a lot of fucking crazy shit in the North too. There was police brutality. There still is. I mean, you know what? That we really dump on the South. I think the South has always just been, like, a lot more outwardly racist and outwardly Christian, and outwardly homophobic. But there's just so many different kinds of people down here. But there's literally people who see me and my niece together, and they say, like, oh, y'all are such a cute couple. And I'm like, first of all, this is my niece. Gross. Second of all, I am super fucking queer. Like, is that not obvious? But some of these people, especially, I think, Christian women, they just don't see it at all. They see, because even if a person was gay, they think that they could, like, pray the gay away. And so they would just, like, have that person pray harder and then get married to a woman and have kids, right? And I just don't know. There's a lot going on there. There's a lot of denial. There's a lot of unawareness. There's a lot of just bonkers, bananas, crazy. I don't know. Like, it's a lot. I mean, the way that, especially Christianity, but a lot of religions, teaches us to ignore our own inner voice so often, it's just like, it's pretty bad. It's pretty unhealthy. Ignoring your own desires, your own, you know, what makes you you? What actually connects you to what I would call God, right? They're saying right now that the biggest church in the United States is a church of the nuns. That's like people that are not, I think nuns means like they have no religion. They're none, not like nuns, like Catholic nuns, like N-U-N, but it's N-O-N-E-S, nuns. Is that nuns? No, that's N-O-N-S. Church of the Nuns. It's not even really a church. It's just a religion of people who don't want to be a part of any organized religion, who are just really traumatized and angry and over that shit. And they're just like, I believe in God, but over here. But then there's also atheists in that group and agnostics in that group, and just like people who are just not having organized religion anymore. And religions and churches are struggling with attendance. And I'm like, well, fuck you. Fuck you, churches, because you know what? All y'all are crooked. I don't know. Maybe like 1% of churches aren't full of fuckery, honestly. And I say that, yes, as an ex-Catholic who was traumatized and victimized by the Catholic Church, but also as someone who was traumatized and victimized by, like, every single other Christian church that I came across, other than maybe one. There's this really beautiful Episcopalian church, and one of my good friends who I've had on the show is an Episcopalian pastor. But even then, even in that religion, you know, sect of Christianity or whatever, there's probably things where he comes across it and goes, yeah, that's the one weird thing, you know? And I'm just like, nope, no one weird thing. Nope, 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 nope. I mean, that is kind of a thing if you're like in a family, if you're like, you're like, I love my family. There's this one weird thing about my family. And that is called, you know, accepting that would be called being unconditionally loving. Be like, yeah, I love my family, even though there's a couple of things about my family that I'm not that cool with, but, you know, I still love them. It's like, yeah, you could do the same thing with your religion, but I don't have to, you know? I also don't have to love my family, but I do love my family. If you do love your family, then you have to love your family, you know? If you don't love your family, then you don't have to. If you need religion, then you have to love your church or your religion. If you don't, then you don't. And I don't. I don't need religion. I can be a good person without a church. And I think that's what a lot of Americans are starting to realize. And I can't speak to the other rest of the world because there's lots of different religions out there. And there's other, I just don't know what those parts of the world are doing. But I love it. I love hearing that church is becoming less and less popular in America. I love it. And that's so weird because we are such a fucking Protestant, you know, fucking Anglo, fucking conservative, annoyingly conservative country, where other countries in Europe are just like, oh God, Americans are such prudes, you know, like really? They can't even be naked in front of each other? Bunch of losers. So all of that, bringing it back. All of that is like, I think what contributes to people looking at me and not even knowing I'm gay, looking at me and literally going, like not even, they can't wrap their rind, their rind. They can't wrap their rind around me having facial hair and long, gorgeous, curly red hair and my fingernails painted and just like a bosom that could just, you know, bust the windows out. Just this fat Betty White ass, you know, they just don't know what to think gender wise. They don't know what to think. And their brain can't go one way. And you could see them like going like, and they finally like land on just, I've decided you're a man and we're going with it. I had a woman once tell me like that, she was embarrassed that she called me ma'am and then was like, oh, wait, you're a man. Oh, ugh. Well, you got your fingernails painted. So I just, you know, ugh, you can see why I would have been like, she just was like, I need you to know it's your fault. I was confused about your gender. And I was just like, okay, how can I help you? You know, I'm at work. So it's like, okay, fine. What do you need? You need me to talk to you about memberships? What do you want? And I was kind to her and, you know, I understand. I mean, like that's gonna happen. I'm not so fragile. You know, I don't, I really just don't care.
Tulsi,
cut it out. I really just don't care what gender you think I am. I'm not offended if you think I'm a woman. That's the funniest thing when people call me ma'am and then they go, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. I got confused or whatever. They never say I got confused. That would be an omission of, that I would appreciate. That'd be like, or not an omission, admission. I'd be like, yes, Yes, you did get confused. That's so big of you to say. But when they're so apologetic that and they're so sorry that they thought I was a woman, and it's like, women are awesome. Women are great. Like, there's nothing wrong with being confused for a woman. That's fine. In a lot of ways, I'm more of a woman. So yeah. But I do worry that my gaydar is affected because people are nice to me and then I think that they're gay. And then they also think that, like, I've thought for a long time that I think people are gay that are probably bi or pan or gay. And I don't mean people, I mean, like, mostly men, because we're talking about men all the time, right? But they don't know it, or they know it and they're never going to admit it, or they're never going to let themselves even entertain the idea, or, like, there's just so many things. There's so many things. And that I always come back to that Maya Angelou quote of, like, when someone tells you who they are, believe them. Because, like, either they don't know who they are, and that's, they're not going to know. You're not going to help them know. Or they do know who they are, or they know who they are and they're never going to tell you. It's just either way, they're not offering themselves up to you willingly. So you just got to be like, okay, yeah, that's who you said you are. That's who you are. See you later, you know? Or let's just be, I don't know, something other than something like that, like just be friends or whatever. I don't know. It's hard. It's really hard. I feel like there's something I'm not remembering. Where's my phone? I wrote this down. What were my notes about? What were they about? Am I losing my gaydar? Never assume straight guys wanting to be my friend means that they're gay. The South being ignorant of queer people. Nope, I said it all. But yeah, I think, there's also this thing where we're getting, you know, the world is changing and more people are realizing that queer people are present and they're a part of our communities and they're cool. And I think more and more straight guys and all sorts of different guys are becoming more and more comfortable just like being like, I think gay people are cool. Like, I want to be an ally. I want to be a good person. Like, I like, you know, this guy's really cool. He's gay, but he's my friend. And like, I'm not gay, but like, we're friends. And like, I'm not going to get drunk and like, you know, let him blow me or something. Like, we're just friends. Like, that's still a thing. I know the gay fantasy is like getting your straight guy friend drunk and blowing him. And that's another thing you got to know, straight guy, is like, you're our friend. If you got drunk and wanted to have sex with us, we'd have sex with you. But we're not going to rape you. You know, we're not going to do anything that you don't want us to do. We're not going to try to trick you. There's all that like homophobic, like worry that like gay guys are out to like just change you or trick you into something or whatever. And it's like, no, that's what straight guys do to women. Let's just pause and take that in. statistically, that's what straight guys do to women. There are, and I don't need to always compare this to this, but there is such thing as pedophiles. People that sexually assault or rape or molest children or young people, right? Anyone can be sexually assaulted. By the way, a lot of people are saying SA instead of sexual assault, and a lot of people are saying they're not saying rape ever anymore because it might be triggering. And you know, I don't want to trigger anybody either, but I also think it's like we need to say the words. I know like Instagram will like pull your video or something if you say the word sexual assault or rape. which is, I'm not sure if I agree with that. And maybe I'm showing my age. I know old people are always like, freedom of speech. But I just think, like, I'm not going to, if I was sexually assaulted, which I have been, I'm not going to come out and say, oh, well, I got essayed. It's like, you what? No, I was sexually assaulted. That's that. I'm not going to let Instagram depict, you know, my experience or like tell me what I'm allowed to say about my experience. That being said, I think people who are talking about it don't want to trigger other people who have been sexually assaulted. So they say things like essayed, but it's like, it's only a matter of time before that just fucking means the same thing. And then that's triggering. So like, are we really, it's a little stupid. But I understand wanting to show your respect to people who are, you know, experiencing trauma. But also there's like other things that they say, like self-eliminated or whatever, instead of like, committed suicide. I actually think that the best, or like self-deleted or whatever, I think I don't like that at all. I think that's fucking ridiculous and stupid. That's the worst thing I've ever heard. I think you should say they were a victim of suicide. I really do. I think that we don't need to blame them for their suicide, but we need to say, like, you were a victim of suicide. Suicide happened to you. It's not that someone else did it, but life did it. You were suffering from depression, anxiety, confusion, all this, you know, some mental illness, or some kind of traumatic life situation, and you suffered and you became a victim of suicide. I think that's the best way to put it. I don't want to say it any other way. I'm open to conversation about it. Anyway, that has nothing to do with this, but I just wanted to say that because it came up in my brain. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I recently had an interview with this amazing woman named Susan Bratton. And I actually interviewed her yesterday, but that episode will come out later. And she is like amazing and just was telling me I need to, what did she say? She said something like, you have to make people offers. Like when it comes to sex or relationships or whatever, you just have to make a lot of people offers. Just say, hey, I think you're really cool. I'd like to get to know you better. Like, would you be down for that? Or like, hey, I think you're really sexy. Like, I'd really like to hook up with you. Like, would you be down for that? Or like, you know, you don't have to just go up to a random person and tell them you want to have sex with them. That's definitely not appropriate. But like, you know, you just kind of have to like make people offers, and they can say no, and a lot of people will. And I've heard this before, but it's just so good to be reminded that like everybody has to make people offers. Everybody has to, if you don't have something and you want it, you got to make people offers. You got to put yourself out there, and you will be rejected a lot, but you will also be accepted a lot. And then you won't be such a fucking problem. When you get rejected, you just go, okay, cool, bye. You know, kind of like me in the car with Eduardo. Just like, are you into me? Yeah, sure. Well, I'm not into you. Okay, cool. Bye. You know, totally fine. So, I just don't think I put myself out there very often. So I'm kind of out of practice with the whole thing. All right, guys, this is a shorty. It's not a longy. It's a shorty. And I don't think I have to make many edits, so that's the good news. And I could cue this baby up, put it out, there you are, wham bam, thank you ma'am. I want to know what you guys think though about all of this. I mean, are any of you living in a part of the world where, you know, dating is hard? Or, you know, because I'm also living in a place where everyone is like really, really much older than me or much younger than me. So, like, I'm literally talking about asking a 20-year-old out. And then I'm, like, also, like, worried about, like, if this 65-year-old guy that I just blew is, like, married or whatever. You know what I mean? It's, like, this whole thing. everyone my age is married and has kids, and it's like they're not in a place where they want to cheat on their wife yet. I don't know. I don't want them to cheat on their wife. I just want people to do what they want and like tell other people like what they want and like be open about what they want. That's a big ask. It's a big ask. So yeah, I'm asking you guys, what do you think about all this? Do you guys find it hard to put yourself out there? Do you guys still feel like you like are suffering from some form of like arrested development where you're like still 16 and you're just like, oh my God, somebody likes me. Like, is that a rest of my life kind of thing? Do I need more therapy? Am I alone here? Hello? 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 Am I alone? So yeah, let me know. Rate, review, subscribe. 5 stars, please. Thank you. If you haven't given me 5 stars and you're listening to this, I expect you to go give me 5 stars like right now. Thank you. But write in, makesexwithmepodcast@gmail.com, and let us know. Share some sexy stories. I will see you guys next week with your ear holes and my mouth hole. That's how we see each other. I hope you're filling those same holes. I hope you're filling all your holes with whatever makes you happy.